Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post. Next up, we have host of Jemele Hill's Unbothered, writer for The Atlantic, former co-anchor on ESPN, and author, Jemele Hill. Coming up, I talked to Jemele about growing up in a household around substance abuse, where she gets her passion for defending our hometown, Detroit, and what it was like early in her career, earning the respect of not only the fans and her colleagues, but the players themselves. Up next, Jemele Hill. Let's go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. You know the rules. Download the podcast, leave a five-star rating, refer a family member, a sibling, a coworker, a friend. Make sure they're absorbing this good old-fashioned soul food. Like this week's theme, The View from the Top. On this show, I talk a lot about the journey to success and the lessons that are so very important to hold on to along the way. But I ask the question, what do you do when you get to the top? When you finally achieve your goal, you become successful. Do you throw away your value system? Definitely not. As a matter of fact, it's even more important to try to be a role model when you're at the top of your game. I try my very best to be an example to others in my community in a lot of ways, by talking about tough topics on my shows, by standing up for myself, culture, and my people. And you know what else? Even admitting when I'm wrong. I try to do it with humility, grace, and most of all, respect. Because guess what? No matter how much we achieve or how many awards we get, we're still all human, including me. And it's absolutely possible to be at the top of your success and also be a work in progress. My next guest knows all about being the realest version of yourself. Jemele Hill is not only one of the most notable voices in multimedia, she's actually my friend. As a matter of fact, her husband and I attended the same high school. Coming up, I talked to Jemele about navigating the media landscape as a Black woman, her top five favorite books, and how someone can start the process of breaking generational curses. Up next, Jemele Hill. Mm-hmm.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man Podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. This week's episode is like a good old-fashioned barbecue in the 313, because my next guest is family. You may know her because she's a journalist for The Atlantic, worked at ESPN. She's a host. She's one of the most respected voices in sports and entertainment. She's also the host of the very popular Spotify exclusive podcast, Jemele Hill is Unbothered. Her new memoir, Uphill, I Have a Copy, is out right now. And in it, she talks about her career, her life growing up in Detroit, and breaking her family cycles of intergenerational trauma. It is my honor to welcome the talented Jemele Hill to the show. What up, though?
What up, though? Thank you for such a warm, wonderful welcome. It must be the Good Timing Award on my part, because, of course, I'm on with you now, Jalen, a couple days after your alma mater just absolutely kicked
yes.
We caught the beat,
yes.
Guy. We caught one.
Yes, we're gonna talk about that. And as I mentioned, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful for all that you do for yourself, that you do for the city. And I'm gonna ask questions that you know I know the answer to, but I gotta ask the questions for people who are just getting to know you for the first time. So I want to start off by saying your memoir, congratulations, is out right now. And it talks a lot about growing up in our hometown of Detroit and being on welfare with your single mom who struggled with substance abuse. Give me a snapshot of what that was like for you as a child.
Well, and I like to think anybody who's kind of been in a similar situation, they can relate to some of this. But, you know, among the difficult parts about navigating your parents' substance abuse, because both my parents are recovering addicts. It's just that my father got cleaner much earlier than my mother. They weren't together. And when he was going through his struggles, he was kind of in and out. And so we were a bit estranged. And my mother's drug abuse was very much engineered and stoked by the fact that she was a sexual abuse survivor. She was molested as a child from ages 4 to 11. Mm. She suffered a violent rape when I was 5 or 6 years old. And all of that, she had a failing marriage as well that was mixed in there. And all of that really drove her to self-medicate. And for me, it was not easy to understand. And it wasn't until we moved to Joy Road. I lived on Joy Road in Lauder on the city's west side. And, you know, not a great neighborhood at all. Mm-hmm. And particularly not that apartment complex that we lived in, which, you know, was very, you know, I mean, it was just dangerous. I mean, you know how the city was, but the thing is, as you know, Jalen, is that when you grow up in that, you don't even realize how dangerous it
correct.
Is.
Correct. Yes.
Like,
yes.
You leave and you're just like, oh, that was really not normal. Mm-hmm. So of course you know, this is the start of the crack era. Okay. And so we're talking about mid-80s, and one particular incident that I write about in the book, when you're asking me a snapshot, I'll use this as an example, but the woman next door who lived next door to us in this apartment got murdered. And my mother was already suffering from a very severe form of PTSD that was brought on by the violent rape that she suffered. And of course, then nobody knew about what PTSD was. People weren't using those terms. And, you know, mental health had like a huge stigma in our community. And, you know, growing up on welfare, being on and off welfare, we didn't have access to those services anyway, even regardless of the stigma. So my mother was very fearful, even though she was raped thousands of miles away in Houston, Texas, that she had this very real fear that her rapist would one day find her. And if not that particular rapist, it would be somebody else. And she had been abused so much in her life. And so when this mother, or so when this woman that's next door to us, our neighbor gets murdered, it triggers so much. My mother, her drug of choice was always painkillers. But on this particular night, when after finding that out, my mother decided to smoke some crack. And she, what she did was she showed me what the crack looked like before she smoked it. I never saw her smoke it, but she showed it to me and told me at that moment that she never wanted me to have any involvement with it. She wanted me to know what it looked like so that if anyone ever approached me with it, then I would know to say no. Now, I know that might sound like a very bizarre and also counterproductive argument, but it obviously is staying in my mind. I was never tempted to do anything that serious, but she was one of those parents, and maybe this is generational and real old school, that definitely had the mentality of do as I say, not as I do. And so, you know, when you see somebody going through that trauma, the night terrors my mother would have and other things, or just me in general, not knowing what mood she was going to be in, not knowing what I was going to come home to sometimes from school or when she would pick me up from practice when I was playing softball or something else. It's just a lot because you feel like you're scared all the time and you're also walking on eggshells as well. So, you know, because of that, I think I learned to hold a lot of stuff in because I felt like I had to be strong and resilient and sometimes I had to be the adult. And so I think I picked up a lot of responses that were ingrained in me that I've been trying to lose as an adult, you know, for many, many years. So it certainly wasn't easy, but it was a very complicated situation to grow up in because despite all those circumstances, my mother, my grandmother, all the adults that were central parts that played central roles in my life, regardless of what shape they were in or what circumstances we were facing, they never let me use that as an excuse not to go to school, not to get good grades, not to take care of my responsibilities. They wanted better for me. And I think because of that, that's the reason I wanted better for myself.
Wow. Oh, man. I respect and admire you so much. I have so many follow-up questions. One of the things you mentioned as it related to growing up on Joy Road and Lauder is that you didn't realize the danger that was always around us. And there's something that I always talk about, young people losing their innocence early. It's almost like I'm in eighth grade, somebody doing crack, somebody smoking weed, we watching Scarface. Like, I don't really get a chance to have a childhood. And in your case, you also needed to do, I guess, what's called reverse parenting in a lot of ways. So how were you able to navigate that?
Well, thank God for grandparents. Thank God for grandma, for big mama, as we like to say. And my grandmother, though she, you know, she had some alcohol issues herself she was dealing with, she was also somebody who I was very close to. And so when my mother, you know, my mother was going through something, or maybe even at times where she might have been on a binge, my grandmother was there to pick up the slack and, you know, pick me up from school. I don't say this to boast or brag, even though it may sound, again, kind of weird to other people, as bad as my situation was, I definitely went to school with people whose situation was way worse, where they had mothers who were strung out, leaving them for 3 or 4 days alone at the time. That was never my reality. Right. Neither was having the light shut off, no heat. Like, I never had to go through any of that. I was always well cared for. I was always fed, clothed, bathed. Mm-hmm. All the basic necessities were taken care of. Now, we couldn't afford to indulge or to splurge on things, mm-hmm. but generally all my basic needs were met. And my grandmother was there to pick up a lot of the slack. With her, I did feel like I could mostly be a kid, because that's just how grandparents are. You know, like, we go to Farmer Jack's. I know you remember Farmer Jack's. Yes.
And the free samples.
All right. So we go to Farmer Jack's, or, you know, we just hit the neighborhood supermarket or whatever. And, you know, I could throw whatever I wanted to in the cart, because that's just what grandmas do. And
that's awesome.
I was really grateful that she was somebody who was there in my life to be a steadying force, even though her and my mother had a very complicated dynamic as well.